Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
Listening to the True Glory Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I'm your host, Corey Kid Smith. You are watching another great episode of True Warrior Football or listening to another great episode. Hey, it has been interesting. Last week was just an interesting game. And we fought hardly. We fought very hard in that matchup on the west side against the Giants. Unfortunately for us, we came up short. But you know what? There was so much that went into that game last week. I gotta talk about everything. That the rivalry that we have with Ben Davis, I've said this countless times before, isn't like any rivalry that we have with any other team. Rivalry that goes back almost 60, 70, 80 years or so, 90 plus times we've played it, like 99, that was like the 99th time we played that this game against them, playoffs and regular season combined. And this was another classic. When you go out to Ben Davis, it's always the energy level for that game on the west side is just so much. It's so different from playing at home. When you play at home, I feel like you have more weight on yourself. But when you go over there, you want to go over there and you want to take it from them. You want to really, really be on your A game when you're going out to the west side. And I felt like our team was truly prepared to do so. And really, as you see from the opening kickoff, boom, right here, Kyron Williams taking it to the house. Just an absolutely incredible play. Kyron Williams is a player that's very dynamic for our program. And I would love to see him have the opportunity to get more touches in our offense. Because this play right here, just as dynamic as you know, this is big time Indiana high school football, and at our level we have great coaches, and great coaches know now not to kick it to him. So I don't know how many opportunities he's going to get moving forward to do something like this again, but man, what a play this was. So right off the bat, opening kickoff, we're up 8-0, because we got the, or was it 7-0? I think it was 7-0. It was 7-0. So we get that. Defense comes out, and just like I thought, their team offensively is just as good as any team in the state. Quarterback Thomas Koskowski is elite, dynamic. Move out there with his feet. Throws a great ball. He's fast, accurate. Very, very talented quarterback that they have. They have some guys out there, and their running back, Elijah Price, got off against us. Scored this touchdown here. And it was right then when they got that drive, when they got that touchdown. It's like, okay, we're in the fight. Which we all knew we were going to be in the fight, but we really knew we were in a fight right here. So, offense finally gets the ball. And our guy, Keith Jackson, doing what he, really picking up where he left off last year. Last year, he had a bunch of big runs against Ben Davis. I want to say he had like two runs of like 40 plus yards. No, he had one that was like a 60-yard touchdown run. And right off the bat, he comes out, booming, pounding the ball, gets out to the edge, out there making plays. And I think it was about the fourth or fifth play of the drive is when everything in this game got flipped upside down, turned and dropped on our heads. Doing a pitch play, and Keith is tackled without the ball after he pitches the ball off, and he lands awkwardly. Once again, it's our first drive, and I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, maybe it's just a shoulder thing or something like that, or, you know, he twisted an ankle of some sort. And it's really interesting because last week in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers had that big injury for the Jets on their first possession of the game, four plays in. And here we are, our first possession in the biggest game of the year for us, and our star quarterback is down in the game. And, you know, as it went on, you start to see, okay, this is serious here. Then one of the coaches, Paul Washington, comes to me and says, hey, kid, man, you got to see this. And the wonders of modern high school football is you have the access to film at the drop of a play, instantly. And so he pulls me aside, and I see the play, and I see the tackle or whatever you want to call it, and how he quarterback Keith Jackson lands after the play. And right then and there, I was like, oh my God. It was just one of those moments where you don't want to say all hope is lost, but man, it really became one of those moments where what pressure was on the rest of the team, especially the defense, to deliver was amped up. Just I won't say a bit more, a lot more. It was amped up a lot more. And so from that injury I saw from him, I was like, man, he's not coming back into the game. That much was for certain. This is before the cart had come onto the field and he had his arm and shoulder all wrapped up and everything and the brace put on. That was before all that. And, you know, then at this point, you know, they're getting freshman quarterback Anthony Dennison warmed up, ready to go. Because like I said, we still have a drive to go. We still have the ball. We're still pushing. And it was tough. It was tough seeing a guy like Keith like that have to come off the field. Last year, he got injured late in the game. When the game was out of, we were down two scores at that point. But he was wanting to go out there and compete and really, really bring this home. And that's the thing I love about Keith. He's a competitor. He is a true leader for his team. Despite his size, stature, whatever you want to say, this man has a fire within him that is very high. The guy is a warrior, true and true. So to see him get injured like that, and I hate seeing any of our players get injured, but to see him get injured, a player at that position, get injured so early in the game, so early in a key game for us, man, that was tough to see. And I don't know how long he's going to be out. I'm not even going to speculate. I'm not even going to speculate because once I get into that, then I just hope Keith rehabs, gets better, and comes back when he feels he can perform at a high level like he had been. But until then, we have freshman quarterback Anthony Dennison. And, you know, Anthony is a little bit, he's a different quarterback from Keith. He is taller. Playing style is very different. He's more pass. He's not as fast and quick as Keith is. But, you know, He's a freshman. And to put a freshman quarterback for us in this game on the road, it was tough. It was tough. But offensively, we were able to continue to drive. We broke a couple of big runs. Able to get down. Jalen McMoore scores a touchdown. And we get the lead back. Ben Davis does their thing. They go down. Elijah Price, another touchdown run. They were really hurting us. Really hurting us. And in this game, you know, we were without Jeremy Finch Jr., defensive lineman, key defensive lineman for our program right now, and without Javon Starks, our safety. And I feel like losing those two guys right there really put a lot more pressure on the defensive front and the back end. Because those two guys are dynamic players for us. So we're without those two guys in this game. And we're giving up big runs, a couple of big passes, but nothing too deep. So they come back, get a score. Offense gets the ball once again. And this is where the struggle starts to happen. This is where we offensively are like, okay, we can't do too much here because we don't have that guy. And not having that guy at that position hurts us. So we punt. Defense steps up. Gets a stop. First stop of the game. Still in the first quarter. Like, all right. Now we got something here. Now we got something here. I think the score was 14-13. Ben Davis. Forcing the punt. And my man, LaDre Harris, makes such a beautiful move to stay up, flexible, and just boom, to the house. Touchdown. Get the lead back 20-14. So here we are. We are up on the road in the first quarter, scored 20 points against our arch rivals on the road. Two special teams touchdowns. I'm not sure the last time we've had two special teams touchdowns in a half or a game. But to get one in a first quarter, remarkable. And it's so weird and funny because I had decided to wear my special teams shirt from like 09, 010. And it's like, you know what? Something made me want to break this shirt out. So I broke it out and boom, two special teams touchdowns. So that was great to see. And special teams have been an area the first 3-4 weeks of the season that I wanted to see great improvement from. And to see us do that was excellent. So boom, we score. Force them to force another punt. I think we were playing some really good football on the defensive side of it. Made some changes, got things going right. So we were really, really doing well. Then offense still struggled. And like, it's so funny. It's like every quarterback that we've had the last 2-3 years has done this. They always want to. We get the play where it's throw to the opposing team and let them score a touchdown off of it. And, you know, quarterbacks, this happens at that position from time to time. I mean, look at the NFL. Justin Fields threw one. Who was it? Mac Jones threw one a couple of weeks ago. You know, it happens. The dreaded pick six, though, against your rival, tough. Tough. Matter of fact, Justin Fields thrown two back-to-back weeks. As a Bears fan, I'm not even worried about that right now. Anthony Denison throws a pick six to their linebacker. I think his name is Contreras. And take it to the house. So now they have the lead, 21-20. And Defensively, it puts us in a bind. Offense punts again. And now I think Ben Davis has the ball with like a minute and a half to go in the second quarter before halftime. In my mind, I'm thinking we're going to make a couple stops here. They're going to run out of time. Unfortunately, that was not the case. And they were able to get in another score before halftime to make the score 28-20. And it was at this point right here that things really hurt for us. But one of the things I like about our coaching staff right now is they've learned from our early season mistakes, and they have done really well with making adjustments, mid-game adjustments, that is. So halftime, we come out defensively. The week prior against LC, I said how LC's quarterback, Bryson Luther, was one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the state. And their offense, extremely good, talented, can do a lot of great things. And for us to shut out their offense for an entire half is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And defensively, in the second half, we put up another performance that was equally as good. And I truly do not know which one was better. But what we were able to do defensively in the second half against Ben Davis was truly unique. Really, for most of the game, we shut them out. They could do nothing. We didn't force any turnovers, but we just got key stops when we got them, when we needed them. Pass breakups, getting to the quarterback, making it tough on them on every passing play. And then, I want to say it was the third quarter, our guy LaDre Harris, who had the punt return for a touchdown, comes down injured. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Another one? We had had, Shanklin had gotten, defensive lineman Damian Shanklin had gotten an ankle injury earlier in the first half. He comes back into the game, but he was down for a little bit. You had helmets pop off. Guys had to run off the field because for a play. You had a lot of, this game had so many stoppages in this game. And then LaDre getting the injury, I believe it may have been a concussion. Whatever it was, he would come out the game, wouldn't go back in. So here we are. We're down two safeties. We're down defensive lineman. We're down a quarterback on the other side of the ball. And it's still a one-score game. And finally, fourth quarter comes. We finally start making some progress, making some plays. James Clark, junior running back. Bus one. Boom. And he doesn't take to the house, but he gets best run of the night. Best run of the year, probably, for him. And gets the ball down to the 10, 15-yard line. We eventually punch it in. Boom. 28-26. We get the two-point conversion. Boom. Tied it up. Marcus Bell in the end zone. Shoving guys off him. Get off me. I'm like, okay. Okay, we're right here. We're right here. Fourth quarter, about 9 minutes left in the game. We can do this. We can do this. Getting ready to go and kick off. And as we're lining up to kick off, we got everybody out there, ball set, ready to go. I look on the other side of the field, and I see chaos. And all Ben Davis' sideline is rushing off the field. Everybody understands is rushing out of stands, heading towards their locker room. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? We're thinking on our sideline that somebody's fighting, whatnot. Then they start rushing us off the field. We got to get everybody off, everybody up into our locker room. It's just a momentum killer like that is devastating. absolutely devastating. And I cannot stress this enough, how tough that was. When you're going and going and moving and moving and doing so well, and you have to come to an abrupt stop and do a 180. That is so tough in sports. And we get everybody into the locker room. They said they heard gunshots, fireworks. It was super close. I didn't hear it myself personally. People in the stands said that they heard it. I didn't hear anything. I was so clued into the game, what was going on. I didn't hear any of that. So for us to be told that, and we're in the locker room, got the cheerleaders in the locker room, trying to get them out, get them away from the players so the guys can focus. And it's 10 minutes go by before we can finally get back on the field. And one thing I hate, there's no warm up again. There's no, getting guys acclimated. Nope. All right, we're going out there, kickoff team, let's go, line up, set it up, ready to go. And, we lost Elijah Slyback to college last year, who is probably one of the three best kickers in program history. I'm thinking about kickers all time, Aaron Sparks, Maki Magdalenos, Elijah Slyback. Those three guys could do anything. Punting, field goals, PATs, whatever you needed, kickoffs. Those are the three best. By far. It's not even close. Not even close. I can name a bunch of other guys that have done a lot of great kicking for us, but those three guys right there are the best. So, we don't have those three guys, of course. Slyback's in college. Aaron and Maki are my age. Okay? So, we have piecemeal. Shanklin punts for us. He also does kickoff. And Cam is a senior. PATs or field goals whenever we get a chance to do those. So I think Shanklin, by mistake, did this onside kick. And it was executed really well. The only problem with it was it went 9 yards and like a few inches from being 10. And it was such a perfect ball. Like, I've never seen a ball get kicked like that. And just spin around, spin around, spin around, spin around, spin around. And just die right at the spot where if it goes to that spot, we can touch it and it's our ball. Never seen that before in my life. Never seen that before. So, boom, flag, penalty, Ben Davis ball right here like the 45-yard line. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. So, defense, once again, steps up. They are able to get close, but they don't get much. Hold them to a field goal. Good. Great. Offense comes on the field, and they don't get anything. So we got a punt. And once again, like I said, the special teams unit has been great so far in this game. But here in the fourth quarter, we had one boo-boo already with the kickoff, with the failed, miscommunicated onside kick. Shanklin goes to punt, and he had a great punt earlier in the game. It's probably about a 50 to 60 yard punt. And then this moment, at this time, we're in our end zone, deep in our end zone. He punts the ball, and it probably goes 10, 15 yards. Goes, and it starts bouncing back, so we land on it and stop it from going any further. So now Ben Davis has the ball like the 30-yard line. Something crazy. Fourth quarter. We must have a stop. We really can't allow them to score any more points. We need to get either hold them to a field goal, turnover on downs, or a true turnover. Those are our three options. A touchdown kills us. Defensively, we played like madmen on this possession. And it's one of the better possessions that we've had defensively as a whole all season. We hold them. Fourth down comes up. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to kick the field goal here. They're in great position. They're in great position. It's like 2 minutes left in the game. They're going to kick the field goal. They're going to go up 34-28 and really, truly force us to go down and score a touchdown to tie up the game in a PAT to beat them. But no, they elected to go for it. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And the passing game is their bread and butter. But they've been killing us all night with the run. Elijah Price had been gashing us. He had three touchdowns already in the game. They didn't go to him. They tried my man Sean Pennington, who had his moments, but he made some big plays. And he was in great coverage. The ball, it was just out of the wide receiver's hands. And turnover on downs, Warren Central ball. So now we got to go 70, 80 plus yards to even have a chance. Maybe not even that long. We probably have to go like 60 to get in field goal range. But once again, we know what our limitations are. We have not tried a field goal all season long. PAT-wise, we struggle. So, moving down the field, we're able to get some big runs. And then Anthony Dennison hits, I want to say it was Chaz. Is it Chaz or Eric? I don't have the play put up, unfortunately. But he hits one of those two guys. And big wide receivers that we have. And huge play. He catches the ball, but we also get a PI. Come down, check it. Clock's running out. Under a minute to go in the game. We get in, we move the ball just a little bit further. And Anthony hits Jordan Williams on a perfect strike. Jordan has the ball in his hands. He's in the end zone. And the DB for Ben Davis punches it out. Oh, man. That was fourth down. Now it's fourth down. And 10 seconds to go in the game. We elect to kick a field goal. Our first field goal of the season. My man Cam comes out there. And wide left. Ball game, basically. And I hate this for our players. Especially Jordan. He was very emotional after the game. Which I think any player would be. I think growing up, kids, young kids, you know, you always have the, you always practice, you know, dream about hitting that big play, you know, doing the home run hit to win the game. Everybody wanted to be Jordan hitting that clutch last second shot to win the game, to win the championship. You're an offensive guy, you always dream about, you know, scoring the big touchdown. Everybody running over to you, congratulating you, hugging you, celebrating with you. Everybody wants that moment and to dream that moment and have it right there, literally in your hands. And not being able to come through with it is tough. And for all the praise I put on our special teams unit to start the game, we almost had an onside kick that we had earlier in the game. We came very, very close from getting that one as well. And all the great things we did, special teams-wise, at the start of the game, those last 9 minutes, we had too many errors, special teams-wise, that really affected the game more than the successes that we had earlier in the game. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to end the game in that way at that place against that team is tough. And the last three times we've gone over to Ben Davis, you go all the way back to 2019. We were struggling the first half, second half. We had a lot of big play moments. We ended up losing in double overtime, 27-24, I believe was the final score. Great game, though. 2021, the epic comeback, 57-56. We win that one. Huge, huge game. And then this year, we lose 31-28. The last three times we've played Ben Davis, at Ben Davis, have been a game that literally came down to the last play. And it's so interesting. People had talked about it, this rivalry. Or let me say this. People hadn't talked about this rivalry nearly as much as they talked about other games this past week. There was a stat or an infographic from, I think it was Indy Prep, so I'm put up here on the screen. It's from last week. You see, this is all these games right here. I don't see the one that's been played by two schools that have a combined 18 state championships. I don't see the longest running rivalry in Central Indiana right here on any. The disrespect that this rivalry gets is just, that it got this week is just beyond me. Maybe this is because of us. Maybe because we didn't hold up our end to start the year or whatever. But to put some of these other games ahead of us is just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Then I heard people questioning, oh, is this really a rivalry? Is this really a rivalry? Is this really a rivalry? Is that the question you want to come up with and ask? Come on now. You're better than that. Every player that's been in our program and in that program should know that really this game right here makes memories that last a lifetime. A true, without a doubt, lifetime. And you always, always are going to remember the plays you made and plays you didn't make in this game. Good or bad. Good or bad. You're always going to remember those. So, yeah. Losing this game is tough. But it adds another great chapter in the rivalry that you have to bring it. You have to bring it. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready to step up at a moment's notice. Did we think that we were going to be without our starting quarterback after the first drive? No. Did we think we're going to be without one of our other safeties in the second half? No. But it happened. It happened. So you have to be ready. And this is for really every game, but especially that game. You have to be ready. You dress, you step on that field, you have to be ready to make the plays that are necessary. And that's what we got to do. Offense made some plays down the stretch that kept us in the game, gave us a chance. I can't ask for anything better than that. Defensively, we played a tremendous game. Holding them to what they did, holding them to a field goal, 3 points in the second half, absolutely tremendous. We could have been better. There are a couple of touchdowns in there they shouldn't have got. They had a touchdown in the second half. They got brought back by a penalty. We got to be better. We got to be better in a lot of places, especially linebacker play. We have to be better. But I think this game right here shows how good and how talented we are and the potential for success this team could have. Because it's right there. Nothing is holding us back but us. And it's always truly really been that. Teams don't beat us. We beat ourselves most of the times. So moving forward here, we have Pike this week. And Pike is a team that's had their struggles. I think they're 0-4, 0-5 on the season. Once again, our program does not hinge on being able to beat a program like Pike. Never has. Never will. And that's no shade to them. It's just we are on different, like Meek Mill said, there's levels to this. Okay? They're down here. It is what it is. It's the games that we have left that I really want to see our team play well in. Lawrence North next week. Carmel the week after that on the road. Coming back home and playing Christian Brothers. Then we had the playoffs. So we have, what's that? Pike, LN, Carmel, Christian Brothers, week one playoffs. Five guaranteed games remaining. Midway point of the season. We are 2-3 right now. And we really should be 4-1, maybe 5-1, depending on how you look at the things that we did and didn't do against Fort Wayne Snyder. But our record is what our record is. Can't do nothing about it. Had to move forward, had to progress, continue to get better week after week. And I feel like we've done that. Do I feel like we're at our best potential? By no means. By no means. But we're getting there. So, I expect for our team to come out this week against Pike. Do what we need to do and get ourselves ready to go back on the road to Lawrence North next week. So, yeah. It just really, really, for a game like that, that match to that. So many highs, ups and downs, stoppage, start, stop, start again. So that's tough. That's the best I can say. But hey, you know what? That's life. That's football. What can you do? But with that being said, like I said, we got Pike. Got some legends. Matter of fact, we have some legends coming back home this week. And I made a little video here to talk about it. Let me show it to you guys.
I'm really not all right because I've been waiting since last November to strap it up again. I mean, it's been boiling inside. And that's maybe why I've been so intense and stressed because I can't wait for a second opportunity, because you don't get a second opportunity very much.
Yes, sir.
And it just means too much to me. It's my fourth year at Warren Central High School. It means too much to me to go out with this group of seniors, because this is the guys I started with. And that's why I'm pushing you as hard as I can push you, because I know the highs, I know the lows, I know what you're capable of. And I want to stop reading about the team that's supposed to be so good. I want to see it tonight. Yes,
talking about our defense, our kickoff, our team, period.
we rank number, below two.
Hey, it's our family.
Let's
this
go.
Is family.
We ready for war. Man. Let's
take,
go.
Who you want to take to one of your family? I know I can trust everybody here to have my back, and I got y'all. Defense, they get
started.
Offense, it's a track meet, homie. We running up and down the field on that mediocre defense. Hey, D-Unit, show your quarterback you ain't nervous. Welcome to the bench.
It's war, right?
Thank God for sitting here. Let's go. Let's go.
We ready.
Come on, we got
we ready.
So yes, the legends from 2003, the most important team in program history, this right here, these guys that won this. This is a signed copy from just about most of the major players from that team I have. And like, I cherish this. I cherish those memories from 2003 because like I said, it's the most, in my eyes, the most important team in our program's history. 84 and 85 were fantastic for what they did and accomplished back then in that era. But for the modern era of Indiana high school football, if this team doesn't win state and get over the hump of beating Ben Davis in the playoffs, I don't believe we have any of the success that we had in the 2000s. That crew, those seniors as juniors the year before, were a part of something special that came up short. And they knew they had to be so much better than what they were the year before that there was no room for error when it mattered. They went out there and did something spectacular that shaped our program for the foreseeable future. We changed offensive record books in the state of Indiana forever. Just did so many great things. Defensively, we became a force. And then on top of that, their success brought in colleges to really come in and take a look at our guys that hadn't come in and take a look at our program before. Open doors for so many guys to go and play great football at the next level. It is truly, truly the best thing that ever happened to our program was the 2003 team winning the state championship. Everything we have here, the fancy field, the revamped stadium, and everything that has come along with it, the shiny jerseys, everything like that, was born off the success of the 2003 team. Everything. So I thank those guys. This is the reason why I do this show, is to thank the legends from that team, the legends from every team that's come before them and after them. This is my thanks to you. So 20-year reunion for 2003, 10-year, the first reunion for the 2013 team, and that was a team that nobody expected to win. Nobody expected them to win. They had, you talk about our team having struggles. They had their struggles as well. They lost the beginning game on the road. At home to Center Grove. Then they lost to Carmel, and they lost to Pike. Crazy to think about that, right? Lost three games in the regular season, and one of those three games being Pike. Crazy. The Carmel game was an incredible game. I remember defensive lineman slash kicker, kind of like what we have now, Max Hernandez, just being an absolute force. I want to say he scored every point in that game. He had a safety and a defensive touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown, and he kicked like three field goals, I believe. Either two field goals or three. Just absolute tear. One of the all-time best performances I've seen from a defensive lineman in a long time, man. That team, along Max, Cottrell Moss, McKelty Williams, Zach Gegner, Mr. Football, tight end winner, Trey Akers, offensive lineman, Jeff George Jr., Darius Lee, so many good players. Wilmer Cole was on that team. So many great players were on that 2013 team that made so many good things happen. The trajectory that we're on, they were on as well. Nobody expected them to win, and they went out there and they won it. Beat Carmel 7-6. Just an all-around amazing team, and now we get to bring those guys back in and honor them for this moment and occasion. Very happy to see those guys be able to come back here. So, yeah, if you can, come out, support our guys, support these legends as they come back. I love it. Congrats to both these teams. They're legends. Thank you. As I said that, let's transition to talk about some of our guys that did some things at the next level this past week. Games I want to talk about here, really. First one, we had Butler welcoming in Wabash this past week. And of course, at Wabash, we have our guys, Derek Allen, wide receiver, and Quinn Scholler, who is offensive lineman for them. Second year starting offensive lineman for the Wabash Little Giants. And at Butler, we have our guy, Devin Holman. Devin is really, really being a contributor for the Butler Bulldogs in his first year. And it was a good game. Derek Allen here catches his touchdown pass to cut the lead from 21-7 to 21-14. But Butler really was on their A game, and that was the closest that Wabash would get the rest of the night. I think the final score ended up being like 47-28 or something like that. And yeah, huge win for Butler. Tough one for Wabash. They'll get up on it. They got a really good team, really good quarterback, of course, in Liam Thompson. So they're going to be some great things later on in the season. Derek Allen in the game had 10 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. He's just been tearing it up. I think that was like his third or fourth touchdown of the season. That's doing some phenomenal, phenomenal things for Wabash. Devin had 2 pass breakups in this game, so congrats to him. Moving on, got to talk about our guy, Ramir Elliott. SIU, the Salukis have had an incredible season so far. They're ranked in the top 15 in FCS. They went on the road this week against rivals CMO, Southeast Missouri, and they were down 15-0 in the first half. And they ended up battling their way back to win. I think it was final scores like 26-25. Ramir had another game, another great game, had a great touchdown run that got the scoring going for the SIU. He ended up with like 76 yards rushing and the touchdown. He had 7 catches for, I want to say, 55 yards. That was his highest output receiving on the season as well. So, huge win for those guys. They are really, really, they're moving up. I think, I want to say, they're like number 4 power rankings in FCS I've seen. I think they've moved up to number 12 overall in the AP poll ranking for FCS. So, really good job, Ramir. Very happy for you guys right there. Continue to do great this week. I think you guys face Northern Missouri or is it Missouri State? One of those two schools. A lot of Missouri schools that you guys face. But that's who you face at home this week in Carbondale. And going to, I want to talk about our guy, J.O., Jason Ayebuwagu, my teammate, close friend. He's at Jackson State, of course. I talked about that. A great video is posted online, Jackson State. Let me let you guys hear it right here.
Fucking Tuesday, Wednesday. All right, now we got a fly around today with speed. Clean it up. All right, it's a locked-in day. Let's clean up the mental ass. Let's clean up the mistakes and be where we're supposed to be. Because here's what's going to happen. Can't nobody mess with us when we playing like us. All right, we've seen that. We put that on tape. All right, but the great thing about this week is we at the crib. We at the crib. It's going to be a stadium full of people that want to watch you play. A stadium of people who love you. A city of people that love you. All right? Everybody got an opinions right now about what Jackson State is. We're going to show them what it is on Saturday. Let's go. Let's get a break.
So, yeah, Jackson State comes home this week in a game against Bethune-Cookman, our very own coach, Dwayne Brown's alma mater. So, it's going to be a huge game right there. Best luck, J.O., to you guys down there. I know we'll all be rooting for you, except for Dwayne, probably, most likely. But, no, you guys doing some good things down there. 2-2 on the season. Hey, first home game. Hope you guys get on back on the winning streak and keep things going there. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I got for you here. We got a lot of great things going on in our program. Come out Friday night. Support our guys against Pike. It's going to be a great event, a great night for everybody. I'm looking forward to seeing the progress carried over that we made from last week, carried over to this week, and get better. Let's hope we can get out of it unscathed, though. That's the main thing I want to see. I don't want to see no more hurt players. No more hurt players. But as always, I'm your host, Corey the Kid Smith. Just listen to and watch another great episode of True Warrior Football. And as always, Warrior Band, take us away.